My Life in Christ, second book, starting from page 314. Never despair in God's mercy by whatever sins you may have been bound by the temptation of the devil, but pray with your whole heart, with the hope of forgiveness. Knock at the door of God's mercy, and it shall be opened unto you. I, a simple priest, am an example for you. However, I may sometimes sin by the action of the devil, for instance, by enmity towards a brother, whatever the cause may be, even though it may be a right cause, and I myself become thoroughly disturbed and set my brother against me, and unworthily celebrate the Holy Sacrament, not from willful neglect, but by being myself unprepared and by the action of the devil, yet after repentance the Lord forgives all and everything, especially after the worthy communion of the holy mysteries. I become white as snow or as a wave of the sea by the blood of Christ. The most heavenly peace dwells in my heart and becomes light, so light, and I feel beatified. Then, indeed, I forget all troubles, anxieties, and the oppression of the enemy. I become entirely renewed, and as though risen from the dead. Do not then despair, brethren. Whatever sins you may have committed, only repent and confess them with a contrite heart and humble spirit. Glory, O Lord, to thy mercy. Glory, O Lord, to thy long-suffering and forbearance. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter, 1 chapter, 22nd verse. Remember these words of the apostle and act in accordance with them. Forgive them that trespass against you, knowing that as the enemy disturbs you and sometimes sets you at enmity against others, so he also disturbs and sets them against you. Love and pity your enemies as those who have gone astray, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrivance blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, 9th verse. Be moderate in all religious works for moderation, even in virtue, correspondingly to your powers, according to circumstances of time, place, and preceding labor, is prudent and wise. It is well, for instance, to pray with a pure heart, but as soon as there is no correspondence between the prayer and your powers, energy, with the various circumstances of place and time, with your preceding labors, then it ceases to be virtue. Therefore, the Apostle Peter says, add to virtue knowledge. That is, do not be carried away by heart only, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. 2 Peter, 1 chapter, 56 verses. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. St. Luke, 11th chapter, 23rd verse. It is necessary to advance in the spiritual life, and ascend higher and higher to increase more and more the stores of our good works. If we remain stationary at one point of moral perfection upon one step of the Christian ascent, that is equal to our going back. If we do not gather, it is equal to scattering. Do not grudge burning a wax paper before the icon of the Lord during prayer. Remember that you burn it before the inaccessible light and before him who enlightens you with his light. Your candle is as though a burnt offering to the Lord. Let it be a gift to God from your whole heart. Let it remind you that you yourself should also be a burning and shining light. He was, it is said of John the Forerunner, a burning and a shining light, St. John, 5th chapter, 35th verse. The Lord, with all his infinity, is at the same time such an incomplex being that he is holy in the single name of the Holy Trinity, or in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Who of mortals is worthy of the Lord? Who of mortals is worthy of the Lord? He to whom everything except the Creator is nothing, to whom the Creator is everything. O man, let not your heart cleave to anything but the Creator. Cling to him in the simplicity of your heart. Let neither food, nor dress, nor any human creature, nor riches, nor the comforts of this life, nor the glory of this world, nor anything worldly tempt you. I bring to the Lord, to Our Lady, or to the angel or saint, material light, in order that the Lord may bestow the light of grace, spiritual light, upon me through their prayers, that he may lead me out from the darkness of sin into the light of the knowledge of God and virtue. I bring material fire, that the fire of the grace of the Holy Ghost may be kindled in my heart, and that it may extinguish the fire of the passions in my miserable heart. I bring a light with the desire that I may become a light myself, burning and shining to all that are in the temple. These are the reasons why I place candles before the icons. Such are my thoughts when I put candles in the candlesticks. I acknowledge that I place these candles before the icons with the hope of receiving spiritual blessings from those holy and all holy persons who are represented upon them. I acknowledge the spiritual love of gain, but it is the law of reciprocity to accept a gift for a gift. With what measures ye meet, it is said, it shall be measured to you again. St. Matthew, 7th chapter, 2nd verse. I, an infirm, carnal, sinful man, they are welcome to all I have, not being always able to bring to my Lord, to his most pure mother, to the angel of God, or to the saint, a heart burning with faith and love. I bring at least a carnal and material man, a material gift, as a gift to heaven, a lighted candle. May the Lord look down from heaven upon this little gift of my zeal, and may he give me more in return. He alone is rich and enriches all, whilst I am poor and needy. He is surrounded with inaccessible light. I am in darkness. I am of little faith. May he grant me the gift of faith. I am poor in love. May he enrich my heart with the priceless heavenly treasure. I am powerless for all good. May he give me the power. On my part, there is the desire for heavenly blessings, and there is a material pledge of this. May the all-endowed Lord grant to me, by the prayer of his most pure mother, and of those of the angels and saints, all the things that I ask that are profitable unto salvation. When anyone blames the imperfections and faults of your works, humbly acknowledge the justice of such censure and say, yes, it is true, I am sinful, most sinful. I do not do my work with due care and willingness. Pray for me, brother. Saying thus to him who blames you, that the Lord may teach and help me by His grace to fulfill the duties of my calling and the work of serving others with due care and willingness. Should anyone find fault with your ability, say, I do not give myself such and not other abilities. They are the gift of God. Therefore, to find fault with my abilities is the same as to find fault with the Creator who gave them. When your own relations blame you and expose your weaknesses in the hearing of others, say to them, I am truly such as you describe me, but it is no advantage to you that I am really such, nor that you should defame me and mock at me. To mock at the infirmity of weakness of your brother is foolish and inhuman. It is better to hide such an infirmity, because my infirmity is your infirmity, my shame is your shame. For I am your member, and you too are not without infirmity. Let us therefore pray that the Lord may heal our infirmities, for all of us are infected with the leprosy of iniquity. Charity, it is said, endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 7, verse, and does not put weaknesses to shame. Great are our negligence and slothfulness in prayer. We are always inclined to pray and often to pray anyhow in order to finish quickly. We hurry, we skip, and do not look into the depths of our hearts. Therefore, our prayer is like the wind. It makes a noise, passes away, and that is all. When the darkness of the accursed one covers you, doubt, despondency, despair, disturbance, then only call with your whole heart upon the sweetest name of Jesus Christ, and in Him you shall find all light, understanding, trust, comfort, and peace. In Him you shall find the greatest mercy, goodness, and bountifulness. All these mercies you will find contained in His name alone, as though in a rich treasury. I have received and receive everything from the Lord. How then shall I not return to Him alone with my prayer for everything that I need? How shall I not hope to receive everything from Him alone? I have received from Him life and all things. He alone can give me everything that is necessary to me for my temporal and eternal welfare. It is, so to say, His business to give me everything necessary. Such is His merciful and bountiful nature. Believe and hope to promptly obtain from the Lord everything good for raising up your neighbor, or all things profitable unto salvation. Do not hesitate and do not doubt even for a single moment in the possibility of receiving what you pray for. With God all things are possible, and all things are possible to him that believeth. And hope maketh not ashamed. St. Matthew 19th chapter 26th verse, St. Mark 9th chapter 23rd verse, and 10th chapter 27th, Romans 5th chapter 5th verse. It is only the unbelief, the mistrust of our heart that makes us ashamed. And straightway the father of the child cries out and says with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. St. Mark 9th chapter 24th verse. What grief! Life is straitened on every side. He sorrows for his own, for his son, but he has no faith in his heart, and it is impossible for him not to weep. And thus he says with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. It is the same with us. when misfortune threatens us and there is not the faith in our heart to avert the misfortune, then how shall we not weep over our double misfortune? And yet many have a heart of stone and do not feel the necessity of faith for their deliverance from misfortune. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. St. Mark 10th chapter 22nd. We too often become sad and weak in heart and body at a single word asking a sacrifice of us for the sake of the heavenly kingdom, although we were brave enough before. Why is the creed sung before the transubstantiation of the holy gifts? Why does the priest also say the creed to himself inside the altar at the same time, in order that those present should believe and remember that the Holy Trinity takes part in the act of the transubstantiation of the holy gifts, and that the mystery of the Eucharist is the work of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in order also that the priest himself may celebrate the holy sacrament without condemnation and with undoubting faith in the mercy and omnipotence of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and afterwards at the proper time communicate of it, for at this time especially great faith is required of the priest, as then above all the enemy uses all his efforts to strive to strike his mind and heart with coldness and unbelief, or to disturb him by doubt. It is wonder of wonders that my Lord and Creator was pleased to create anew and change my nature corrupted by sin in the same way as he changes the bread and wine into his body and blood, in the same way as he changed the fire into dew. Whomsoever you wish to pray to, before praying, first ask in your heart that you be made worthy of the offering him your heartfelt prayer, praise or thanksgiving, for we can only pray by the strengthening of the Holy Spirit and by the strengthening of those saints through those intercessions we wish to pray to the Savior. Raise to him before your prayer or praise a heartfelt voice, that he may grant you the grace of sincere prayer, that he may lay his easy yoke and his light burden on your heart, that they may destroy the diabolical pride and resistance of your mind and heart. If you wish to pray to Our Lady, call upon her that she may make you worthy of offering her your prayer, praise, or thanksgiving from the whole heart, unfailingly. If you wish to pray to the angel, ask the Lord to make you deserving of worthily offering him your prayer, or of hymning the grace, brightness, and goodness of his nature. If to a saint invoke the Holy Ghost, by whom holiness this saint are sanctified, that you may worthily call upon him or ascribe praise and thanksgiving to him, for we all can only pray worthily and vivifyingly through the strengthening of the life-giving Holy Ghost. God's saints are the pure breathing of the Holy Ghost, the wind The spirit below is where it listeth. St. John 3rd chapter 8th verse. That is, he breathes in my soul, he pleases. The Holy Virgin was superabundantly sanctified and purified by the Holy Ghost. The angels too are sanctified by the Holy Spirit and live and breathe by him, as we live by the flesh and breathe by means of air. Prayer is their true aspect, are nothing else but the breathing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself, it is said, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8, chapter 26, verse. In the present time, learned men have erected and are erecting the enormous idol and command all to worship it, worshipping it themselves also. This idol is the literature of denial, the impure spirit moving us, the proud, impious, unbelieving intellect. The devil is cunning. Oh, how cunning! He has invented even in Christianity a refined idolatry corresponding with the direction and spirit of the age and with the degrees of its mental development. What an evil, crafty being! How he perverts poor humanity that has withdrawn itself from the hearty faith in Christ! How powerfully he draws men into hell by means of ropes woven by the men themselves! My God, my God! He destroys us by the means of our own intellect, which ought to lead us to eternity, to eternal living God. With our own landless, he draws for us the deadly water of worldly, elementary, and vain wisdom, and gives us and other men to drink of it instead of the living waters of the Word of God. And we drink and drink of it without suspecting that it is the water of death. This is all the TV, most of the TV programs and all the movies. Remember that to God, man is a great, precious being, but that this great creature, after having fallen to sin, become an infirm creature, subject to thousands of weaknesses. Love him, honor him, but at the same time, bear with his infirmities, weaknesses, passions, and actions. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, one sinner, the other sinner, as thyself. St. Matthew 19th, chapter 19th verse. Bear the infirmities of the weak, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Romans 15th, chapter 1st verse. Galatians 6th, chapter 2nd verse. Great are these words. Ponder them deeply. They have the same meaning as the words of the Lord's Prayer. We forgive them that trespass against us. Great and worthy of honor is the body of the Holy Church, whose head is Jesus Christ himself. Remember that in this great and worthy honor body you are an infirm, worthless member, and that you receive everything from the head of the body of the Church, Christ, and are animated by his Spirit. Remember that in the Church there are millions of powerful members who have received great and manifold spiritual gifts from the Holy Ghost, each in accordance with his special merit and receptivity. Respect every Christian as a member of the Church of Christ and the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do not, in your pride, consider anyone as ignorant of the truth of faith, deprived of the gifts of the Spirit, for Christ is all and in all. 3 Colossians 3rd chapter 11th verse, and the Lord inwardly reveals himself to all, enlightens all, according to the measure of the receptivity of each one, and apportions his gifts to all without respect of persons, and therefore say to yourself, I am a small member of the great and worthily honored body of the church. I must regard all the other members with love and respect as dear and beloved members of my Christ. When we are reproached for anything by others, it should not irritate us nor make us despondent, but it should humble us, being morally worthless, and should make us turn to God with the fervent prayer that he may heal our infirmities and by his grace simply supply us with that which is wanting in us. To grow irritated, especially when we are reproached with weaknesses really existing in us, would be only adding one malady to another, one passion to another. It would mean that we are sick with the voluntary blindness of self-love, which does not wish to see its own dark side and leads to voluntary destruction. To despond is also most foolish, for by the help of the God's grace and the Christians can always change for the better if he wishes. And it is for this purpose that the Lord sends us accusers, in order that they may open our spiritual eyes and that we may see the deformity of our deeds and seeing correct ourselves, but not for the purpose of casting us into despondency. Despondency in itself is sin and the work of the devil. Reproof ought to produce in us the godly sorrow which worketh repentance to salvation. 2 Corinthians 7th chapter 10th verse. And not to sorrow of self-love. Amen. I